This is my wonderful wife, Katie. And I'd let her preach tonight. She probably would do better than me. But that's not what the Bible says we should do. Amen? So before she gives her testimony, we have a present to present to Pastor and Mrs. Moore. If you'd like to come over and just open that up. We brought this all the way from Fiji. So it's not something you can buy at Walmart or Target or the mall. It's a little different. So if you want to just go ahead and open that up. I actually went to the market in Fiji and I told them what I wanted. And you'll see what it is here in just a moment. It's a carving, and the carving has a verse on it. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. So we hope and pray that that's a blessing to you. And this is a rug, a floor rug. You're very welcome. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Love you.
We know it's not much, but we hope that it's a blessing and also something they can use to pray for us.
Amen.
At this time, my wife is going to give her testimony. She's nervous, but she's going to do a great job.
I'm so grateful to be here, and it's such a joy to my heart that this is now our church. And
amen.
I remember when I first met the Moores in mainland, in New Jersey. I've gone to mainland my whole life. And the first time I met the Moore family, I remember we had, on one particular Saturday, we had a church work day. And Pastor Moore was cleaning the baptistry, and I just walked in, and he introduced himself, and that was the first time that I had remembered meeting them, and I was able to go to several camps with Felicia and Justine, and I had Jared in when I was an assistant teacher in the twos and threes class at Mainland, and when I grew into became a junior high student, Miss Debbie was my teacher. And I remember so many things from that class, different activities we had, things that she did that went above and beyond that really have stuck with me. And she encouraged me to make many of the spiritual convictions and the standards that I have came from her doing it in her life and teaching us girls why we do certain things that we do to give glory to God. And thank you for doing that. And hopefully I'll be able to pass that on to my daughter and the girls that hopefully the Lord, you know, will allow me to be able to teach in Fiji, and things that have stuck with me. And just seeing them have a servant's heart is the one thing that stands out in my mind. And we just feel so blessed to be able to call them our pastor now and pastor's wife. And we're looking forward to what the Lord will be able to allow us all to be a part of. And we know that you've been praying for us already. We've received emails, I've received messages that you've been praying for us, and that really, it seems simple just to say, just wanted to let you know we were praying for you, but it really, it does mean a lot. And to know that you're holding the rope for us is such an encouragement, and we're just looking forward to be able to send reports back of what the Lord has done and will do in Fiji, and just excited to see how we can work together and go forward.
Amen. Thank you so much. Palitua. That's the pastor's wife in Samoa. She said to me, "What do I say?" I said, "Just share what the Lord has done in your heart." And he's done a wonderful work in her heart, and I'm thankful so much for our godly wife. I'll tell you real quick how we met. We did not meet in Bible college, even though we went to the same Bible college for just 1 year. She was several years behind me. We met on a missions trip. She came on a missions trip with my younger brother. And I was there just visiting in Fiji from American Samoa. She came over. And my mother says to me, "What about Katie?" I says, "What about her?" You know? Kind of like that deer in the headlight look, you know, like, "What about her?" She says, "You know, a wife." So the rest is history, right? I told my mother, I says, "I'm praying for a no-nonsense wife." You know, one that, you know, because you're in Bible college and the girl's upset at the boys, so she gives them a silent treatment, you know, for several days. That's not the kind of wife I wanted. I wanted one that would stick with me through thick and thin. And I didn't get married until I was 27. And I says, "Lord, if you want me to be single, I'll be single." But he said, "No, I got better plans for you." Not that single is not good, but so thank you so much for my wife and my children. We have 4 children, of course. They try our patience. They keep us busy. But there are little missionaries for the Lord. And we're praying that God will continue to use them as he already has. Our kids, you know, even here in the States, the people see them, you know, they want to talk to them. And, you know, they'll pass out tracts and give it to people. So I'm so thankful for our children and what God has done in their lives. We arrived in the States about a month ago. On 18th of November, since we got back, we've been getting warm clothes. It was hot when we left, and it was cold when we arrived. We arrived in Pennsylvania, and it was 17 degrees on the thermometer. We went from the car to the door in about 2 seconds. You know, phew! We were in the house and turning on the heat, getting blankets, and thankfully we haven't gotten too sick very much. We're getting vehicles ready to go, working on our prayer cards, all those things keeping us busy. Calling pastors, you know, you get a lot of answering machines, calling pastors, talking to folks, and our schedule is filling up. And we thank the Lord for that, and we pray that our schedule will fill up and our support will come quickly. We'd like to give back sometime in the summer, probably in the month of July or August. So we're looking forward to what God has for us in the upcoming months, and we pray that God will use us. You know, sometimes you think as a missionary visiting churches, how can God use us? But I believe God can use a missionary to, if you will, encourage others to go to the mission field. You know, I don't think Pastor and Mrs. Moore ever thought that Katie would be a missionary one day. Only God knew. And God works all things together for his glory and for his work. This year we've been involved in the Bible College in Fiji. We've been involved in the Bible distribution for the Bibles in the schools. I've gone to rural schools. We've gone to city schools. We've had the opportunity to have an assembly with several hundreds of students, present the gospel with the wordless book, with Bible stories, with Bible songs. Many of those students have never heard the gospel before. We're able to line them up and give them each a Bible. And many of them have never had a Bible before. Many of them will take it home to their parents, and the gospel is inside the Bible, and many people I've met in different places said they received it, and they are thankful for it. We're also involved in a teen camp back in August. Josh was with us. We had about 130 campers. We had salvation decisions, spiritual decisions. Then the last several months, we've been Bible college training, discipleship, different things like that. I want you to turn your Bible, if you would, tonight to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. I will say by way of personal testimony that the longer I live, I learn that I need God's help. The Bible says, "For without me, ye can do nothing." I also learned that my greatest responsibility is not my responsibility as a missionary, a pastor, a father, a husband, My greatest responsibility is my responsibility to God. It's easy to be in God's service and get backslidden. It's easy to be doing spiritual activities and yet not walking with God. It's easy to be in Bible college or Bible institute and neglect your walk with God. Being a missionary sometimes can be very lonely. You know, there's people there who don't want you there, especially the devil. You know, there's religions who don't want us there. There's other churches that don't want us there. But God is with us. He says in His Word, if God be for us, who can be against us? I said in Sunday school this morning that when I was in Bible college, I said, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do except be a missionary. You know why I said that? Because I didn't believe that that's something I could do. The problem is I left God out. I took my eyes off of God and said, God, I can't do that. But you know, as I surrendered to God's will, there was a peace that passes all understanding. I went to the jail ministry, and there's supposed to be two of us, and the other guy was sick. And they says, you're preaching. I says, no, I'm not called to preach. No, you're preaching. The nice thing is nobody left. You know, it's a captive audience in the jail. And the Lord just helped me. How else can I say it? The Lord helped me. And down through the years of preaching, I've learned more and more. It's not my work. It's God's work. It's not my doing. It's God's doing. We have a young man named Junior from American Samoa. He's in Bible college in Fiji. He's at home right now in American Samoa. I says, Junior, I says, I love you like a son. He's 20 years old. He says, Pastor, I love you. He says, everything I know about the Bible, I've learned from you. He gave this testimony in church. He says, everything I know about the Lord, and I love the Lord because Pastor loves the Lord. He says, I know how to treat others because Pastor knows how to treat others. You know that just, how can God use me? It's simply when you say, hear my Lord, use me. Just like the boy with the lunch. He says, take my lunch. Take all that I have. Don't tell God that you can't do it. Tell God, here am I. Send me. In my travels as a missionary, I've met a man. I can't tell you exactly where. But he said to me, he said, I was a young man like you, and I know that God called me to be a missionary. He said, but I never went. He said, to this day, I regret it. He said, don't live your life with regrets. Serve God today. Now I'm adding a couple words, but he said something along that line. Boy, I just can't forget that. I think about all the people that God has allowed us to minister to. And I tell myself, that could be me who's lost, dying, and going to hell. Sometimes I get shy to pass out a track or I make an excuse. That could be me. Amen? Let's ask ourselves the question tonight, why? Just by way of introduction to the message, why? In the words of my 2-year-old son, why? Every parent's heard that word. Why, Daddy? Why are we going there? Why? And a parent begins to, you know, pull your hair out and trying to come up with an answer. Why do we have church tonight? Why are we in church tonight? Why do we have missions? Why do we have a bus ministry? Why did Jesus come into this world to die on the cross for our sins? Why do we have door-to-door visitation where you knock on doors? Why do we go 9,000 miles away to a little dot in the ocean? Why? Why is there a church plant at Eastland? Why is there a church here, Capital Baptist Church? Why do we have a radio ministry? I believe that God's Word has the answer tonight. Why are we concerned for the lost? Why do we raise our children for God? Why do we walk with God? Look what the Bible says in the book of Luke, chapter number 16.
Now, this is a familiar passage of Scripture tonight. I'm probably not going to say anything new that you haven't heard tonight. But the problem with us as human beings is we're very forgetful. We need repetition. Look what the Bible says here in verse number 19, if you'll read with me, follow along. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. For Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. Notice the next two words. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come unto this place of torments. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Would you pray with me tonight? Most gracious Heavenly Father, we are honored tonight to be gathered in your name. We are blessed to be called your children. We are so thankful tonight to have the eternal Word of God. Lord, we are needy people tonight. We need your salvation. We need the hope of eternity, that if we died tonight, where would we spend eternity? Lord, you came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. You came into this world to be our Savior. As the message was brought, shepherds bringing that wonderful, glorious message, the angels singing and praising God, and we praise you tonight, God. We praise you tonight for who you are and for what you have done. We praise you for the hope that we have in your name, in your salvation, in your word. Lord, I pray tonight for all the forces of evil to be defeated in the name of Jesus. That the name of Jesus would be preached. Because at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We do fight a spiritual warfare, but we know tonight that your name is above all names. Lord, I pray the next few moments that your word would speak to hearts and that it would so be ingrained in our hearts and our lives tonight that we would walk out of this place tonight knowing that you spoke to us and we heeded and we obeyed. And we listened and we allowed you to change us. We need your changing. We need you to speak to us tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I was in Bible college in 2001, I drove home from Tennessee to Pennsylvania. On my way home, I fell asleep driving. I almost died. There was a truck driver that pulled over to see that I was okay, and I was okay, just scared, shocked, happy to be alive. First thing he asked me was, are you okay? The second thing he asked me was, do you know for sure if you died today, if you'd go to heaven? Amen. I don't know who that was. Never seen him again. That was the first time that anybody's ever asked me that question. I almost died that day. I guess God says, I'm not done with you yet. But it makes me think tonight, how many people in this world do not know for sure if they died today, if they would go to heaven? The Bible tells us who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. This scripture passage gives us two men, the rich man and Lazarus. If I'd ask you tonight, which one would you rather be, the rich man or the poor beggar? You would ask most people in the world, of course, I want to be the rich man. I want to, the Bible tells us here, fared sumptuously every day. That means he lived a splendid or an expensive lifestyle. You see people at the stores using their credit cards, spending money, living an expensive lifestyle. And then Lazarus, the Bible tells us he had to eat crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Let me say tonight that if you're a Christian, if you're a believer in Christ, you are a rich person.
Amen.
Amen? My brother Josh and I and my wife, we've gone to homes where they have nothing. Their house is not one bedroom, but one room. That's everything. The floor is dirt. The house is tin. One strong wind, it's going to blow away. But when they have the hope of eternity, they have everything. When you have everlasting life, you have the greatest possession in the world. Amen? And it's to all people. Lazarus had nothing in this world, but he had everything in the eyes of God. Now, the rich man, the Bible tells us in verse 22 that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Now, the rich man did not die and go to hell because of his wealth. It says in verse 24, he cried and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. He did not die because of his riches, nor did Lazarus go to heaven because of his poverty. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Someone said to me one day, Pastor, money is the root of all evil, right? I says, that's right. Give it to me. All of it. Hand it over. It's evil. Give it to me. I said, no. The love of money. You need to love God, not money. But let us understand something tonight. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Nobody can escape death. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Every man, woman, boy, and girl is going to die one day because of our sin. For all have sinned, Romans 3:23, and come short of the glory of God. Now to a Jewish person, Abraham, of course, was one of their patriarchs. And the Bible tells us here that verse 22, that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom or side. Heaven, if you will. Jesus says in John chapter 14, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. But I want you to notice verse 25 again. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. Next two words, but now. But now. He is comforted, speaking of Lazarus, and thou art tormented. The truth is the rich man cried for three things. First of all, he cried for mercy in verse 24. He cried for mercy. Have mercy on me. He cried to be delivered from the flames. He says, I'm tormented in this flame. He cried, number two, for moisture, for a drop of water. Cried for moisture. And then number three, he cried, Verse 28, for I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come unto this place of torments. He cried for a missionary, number three. You say, well, I'm not a missionary. I can't go to the foreign countries. I can't go to another land. What about those across the street, those who you work with, those who you go to school with? Just recently, I was at a store, and the lady, for some reason, asked me, where do you go to church? I guess she saw the tracks I had or the way I was dressed. I gave her a track, and I said, this is the church I go to. Here's the information. Where'd you come? She says, I'm going to try. I said, well, please read that track. It's very important. You've seen the track, God's Simple Plan of Salvation. That's what people need to hear. You know, I heard someone say that the greatest believers in missions are those who have died and gone to hell. He says, come into this place of torments. If you have a Bible, it's the red letter edition, the words of Jesus. Is he lying here or is he speaking the truth of this place of torments? Now, in the Bible, there are parables. I do not believe this is a parable. It's not, you know, Jesus speaks in parables to teach us something. Parable of the sower and so on. This place of torments. Do we believe the Bible is true? Yes or no? If you believe the Bible is true, your life will say so. Oh yes, I believe the Bible, Pastor. Why don't you come to church? Well, I'm too busy. Why don't you go soul winning? Well, I've got other things to do. Then you don't believe the Bible. You're living a lie. Many people say, oh, those Christians are hypocrites. Sadly, it's true. We say we believe the Bible, but we really don't live it. God's word tells us to be doers of the word. Amen? Does someone see my life and say, I want to be a Christian because of him? Now, I promise I'm not going to preach as long as I do in Fiji. I hope not. Sometimes it's 2, 3, 4 hours. Who wants to stay? Amen. Amen. Just 2 or 3 of you here tonight. My wife says, hurry up, hurry up. You better hurry up. No, we don't preach that long. I'm just going to give you one word tonight, and it's very simple, but I hope and pray it'll be a help to you. The word is eternity. Eternity. I'm going to give you a word for each letter of that word, eternity. You know, when I was 8 years old, we went to the mission field. Man, what's going on? I don't know. We're going on a plane. That's all I knew. It was an adventure. Let's get on the plane. My dad was an assistant pastor and pastor in Pennsylvania. We got on the plane, went to Singapore, went to Australia for several years, and we went to Fiji. Then, of course, I went back as a missionary. And people say, why? It's because of eternity. There's a lady who just passed away in Fiji since we have left. Her name was Mrs. Williams. Most of her family is unsaved, but she knew the Lord. I went to go visit her in the hospital. Man, if you could have a smile on your face that was big, it was big. She had been gone through sickness and pain and suffering, but she knew the Lord. And there are other people that, for sake of time, I can't tell you all of their names and stories. But they're out there, and they're real people. And Jesus loves them just as much he loves me. That's the first letter, E. If you write down the next word next to that, everyone. Everyone. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. Amen? Let me ask you a thought-provoking question. How many people do you know? Some of you may know a lot. This coming week, you'll see family. Some you enjoy seeing, some maybe you don't enjoy seeing. I'm just kidding. I'm looking forward to spending time with my wife's parents. Amen? You know, my father preached in Australia, and he says the greatest thing about being a missionary is he's 9,000 miles away from his mother-in-law. I says, Dad, I'm going to tell Grandma what you said. But we see people every day, don't we? People we pass on the road. This road here, 13, is busy. The Little Fiji Road is not quite that busy. Just two lanes, one each way. But think to yourself, when you pass those people on the road, where are they going to spend eternity? Jesus Christ came to this world to be their Savior just as much as mine. Jesus Christ died for them just as much as mine. Hey, when somebody won't open the door, when you knock on their door to give them a tract, invitation to church, He loves them just as much the same. They're blinded to the truth. They're blinded to their need of a Savior. Don't give up. Amen? How many people do you know? Perhaps you can make a list of 20 people, 30 people, and write down next to their names if you are sure or unsure of their salvation. And make a list to pray for them. First letter is E, everyone. Every person in the world is going to die and stand before God. They say we're over 7 billion people in the world. And I ask myself, I cannot tell them all, but I can tell one. And as I tell one, that one can tell another. I said to Junior, when you go back to American Samoa, go soul winning. Okay, Pastor, he says, I'm going to get my friends. I'm going to get my village mates. He says, I'm going to tell them about the Lord. I says, amen. So I'm going to call him tonight. Are you telling your friends about the Lord? I'm going to keep them accountable. Amen. 7 billion people without Christ. Every person will die and spend eternity. E, T, the next letter is T. Two places. Simply heaven or hell. Heaven or hell. You know, there is the belief today of soul sleep. That there is that time between death and eternity. That you don't go to be anywhere. You're just kind of sleeping. But the Bible says of a Christian, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Amen? I'm jealous of Mrs. Williams, a lady who passed away in Fiji, because she's with the Lord. Amen? My grandfather will be 91 in February. Strong. But he's not going to live forever. But I'll see him again with the Lord. Both of my dad's parents are with the Lord. My grandmother wrote me a note, and she says, so grateful, so thankful that you're in Bible college serving God. Still have it. Still hold on to those notes. Two places. I'm so thankful tonight that we can tell people that God has prepared a place for us. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Amen? Don't make plans to stay here a long time. Don't make plans to say, this is your home. We're out of here in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Amen? Heaven, hell, the rich man says. Verse 24. These words cannot come out of my mind. He says, for I am tormented in this flame. Amen? And I cannot describe the words. I cannot describe the emotions. I cannot describe the pain. I am tormented in this flame. Two places. Two places. E-T-E. The next one is eternal or everlasting. Eternal or everlasting. You ever heard that phrase that Jesus says in Mark chapter 9, verse 44? He says it three times in Mark chapter 9, verse 44, 46, and 48. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. You heard it before? Three times. Three times. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. It does not stop. Church, believers, Christians, it doesn't stop. In other words, these words have a simple definition that mean forever. The worm dieth not. They desire death. They want the pain to stop. They want the burning to stop. It will not stop. And the fire is not quenched. People say, oh, I'd rather die. I'd rather die. Without Christ, you don't want to die. I'd rather take my life than endure this right now. Without Christ, you don't want to die. Hell is for those who reject Christ and say, no, I don't want your love. I don't care about your gift of salvation. Jesus says, For by grace are you saved through faith. The word of God. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, is the gift of God. And yet people reject God's love, his mercy. But you see, the rich man didn't reject it when he saw the reality and the truth of God's word and hell, that it was real, eternal, everlasting. It's forever. And then the letter R, turn with me to Revelation chapter 19. You know, when you're a missionary, you come back to America and you see changes that perhaps you don't see because we're gone for so long. To you, it's more of a gradual change. But we see that America is becoming more and more anti-God. More and more, we don't need the Word of God. More and more, we don't need any accountability to God. We're our own judges. We're our own gods. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Does it sound like the condition of America today? Look what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 19, verse 6. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia. For the Lord God omnipotent, notice the next word, reigneth. That's the next letter, R, reigneth. God reigns. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. He lives. I know he lives. Amen? Do you know he lives? Some of you don't know. You're not alive. You're not awake. Amen? Smile for me, amen? Josh, smile for me, amen? He reigns. You know, today people blaspheme the name of God. They take God's name in vain. They take the Bible and they rip it up. They throw it in the trash can. They take a track and they put their gum in it and they throw it away. They blaspheme the name of God. There's a story about a modern-day rich man who said he hated God, everything about the word of God, that hell was not real. Everybody in the community where he lived knew he hated God. When he died, his body was put in the ground with cement and concrete, which is the same thing, concrete and steel, so that nobody could touch his body. He said, not even God. This is a true story. The seed of a tree, I believe it was a poplar tree, made its way into the soil. And it began to grow. And it got stronger and bigger. And eventually, that tree was so strong and big that tomb was cracked. It was destroyed by the power of one simple tree created by an almighty God. It says, the Lord God omnipotent or all-powerful reigns. Just look around you. Creation shows God's power. Ever been through a hurricane before? That's God's power. Those winds ripping through the side of your house, asking yourself, is my house going to go? Is it going to stand? The power of God. You know, the truth is tonight that God is still working and saving souls. Don't believe a lie of the devil and the lie of others that we're wasting our time soul winning. The Bible tells us that the angels rejoice in heaven over one sinner that cometh to repentance. Amen? The next letter is letter N, which simply means nothing. Nothing. What's the hope for eternity? What's the hope for people today? It's not money. It's not church. It's not wealth. It's nothing else but the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Savior of the worlds. As the song says, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? How can I stand righteous and pure before God so I'm not judged and condemned for my sins? Nothing I can do but what He can do. What He's already done. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. It's the message of salvation that we preach. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know, when you present the gospel to somebody, ask them, have you ever heard this before? You'll find many of them will say, no, I've never heard this before. Many are lost. Many are blinded. Many have never heard. And then turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 10. The next letter is letter I, ignorance. Ignorance. Simply that they do not know or they choose to ignore. Let me use Samoa for example. If you go to American Samoa or Samoa or even Fiji, but mostly in Samoa, you see very religious people. In American Samoa, close to 85% of the population goes to church. Some affiliated to some church, Catholic, Congregational, Mormon Church, Jehovah's Witness, Assemblies of God, all kinds of churches, no shortage of churches, and big, gigantic church buildings. If you get a chance, you could perhaps Google churches in Samoa, and you'll see the huge buildings. They spend thousands and thousands of dollars because they believe that that is where you worship God. You cannot worship God at home. You have to worship Him only in the building. Of course, you worship God because He's in your heart through Jesus Christ. He indwells you. But I want you to see Romans 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Look in verse 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and are going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. In other words, they're trying to work their way to heaven. They're trying to do good works. They're trying to give their tithes and their offerings and go to church enough, do more good than bad, like a credit system. But you can never be good enough because the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's why Jesus came to die on the cross for our sins, because He is the perfect Lamb of God. I want you to notice verse 14, if you'd skip down with me. It says, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You know, this keeps me serving the Lord, this simple question. How shall they hear without a preacher? Human nature says, let somebody else go. Let somebody else tell them. Let them find out for themselves. Amen? How shall they hear without a preacher? We drove around the island before we came back to America. About 8 hours to drive around the main island. That's going about 55 miles an hour. That's looking out for chickens and dogs and horses and cows and people. And one-lane bridges and potholes. But you know what we saw? Beautiful landscapes, beautiful islands. But we saw people. And I asked myself, how are they going to hear without a preacher? We have a newspaper called the Fiji Times. They're not going to hear it in the Fiji Times. We have one channel, Fiji One. They're not going to hear it on Fiji One. They need someone to tell them. Someone who knows the Savior and is committed to the cause of Christ and says, I will go. The question is, who is waiting to hear the good news from you? They're out there. There's no shortage of people. There's no shortage of people. You can't witness to the wrong person. You can't tell someone God loves you to not be true. And when you tell someone about Christ, you are planting the seeds and the truth of the Word of God. Many times they reject us and they act rough with us. But deep down inside, they know you're speaking the truth. And the Word of God is not going to return void. It'll do a work. Amen? Let me ask you tonight, who do you know or someone who knows you that you have not shared the gospel with? Let's turn quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The next letter quickly is letter T, temporal, or temporary. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. I ask myself tonight, why is the world not being reached with the gospel? Is it God's fault? Is it because God cannot do it or does not want to do it? Of course, the answer is no. I believe the blame lies with us. And the blame lies to how we are living. How are you living tonight? I'm not talking about your income level. I'm talking about spiritually. How are you living? Look what the Bible says, verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What are the two things that last forever? The Word of God and the work of God. Amen? This local assembly, New Testament church, is the greatest entity on the face of the earth. It's not Walmart. It's not Walgreens. Rite Aid. How many Rite Aids are there on 13? Man, they're everywhere. Dunkin' Donuts. McDonald's. You know how many McDonald's there are in Fiji? Three. You know how many Wendy's we have? Zero. You know how many? Never mind. It doesn't matter. It's all temporal. It'll all pass away. Amen? I hope you choke on your donut. No, just kidding. Honestly, when we come back to America, we just can't believe how much is here. There's so much here. And we complain. God, you made a mistake. God, you didn't do this right. God, you didn't do this right. And I my wife, you know, she got frustrated with me. She says, honey, what do you want for Christmas? I says, I don't want anything else. I've got everything I need and want. She's like, no, tell me. So she got a little frustrated with me. But that's the truth. Everything I need, I already have. Because I've got Jesus Christ. Now, my Bible's starting to fall apart. And it's been used for a long time. But where are you looking tonight, Christian? Is it not true that we could have more people come out for soul winning and visitation? I don't think the pastor would ever say, well, we got too many people here today for soul winning visitation. I don't know what we're going to do with them all. I don't think I've ever heard a pastor say, man, I've got too many people who are surrendered to go to the mission field. We got too many young people who want to go out soul winning and tell their friends. Just too many of them. Sadly, it's the opposite. Who will go when we do this? Send him. Send her. Let him do it. You know, you miss the blessing when you do that. You miss all that God has for you. Then let's finish quickly tonight. The letter Y, simply it's you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Amen? 1 Corinthians 11, speaking of the Lord's Supper, says to examine yourself. Amen? When you come before the Lord, you're to examine your heart, examine your life. Are you living for eternity? There's a song that says, with eternity's values in view, Lord, may I do each day's work for you. What about you tonight? First of all, where will you spend eternity? If you died tonight, where would you spend eternity? Would it be heaven? With Lazarus, who's comforted forever, eternal, everlasting. Will you be with the rich man who lifted up his finger for a drop of water? He cried out in torments. Where will you spend eternity? Don't reject God's gift of eternal salvation through Jesus Christ. And secondly, tonight, are you living for eternity? There's not enough time to tell you of the people that God has allowed us to minister to. The opportunities. Jail, hospital, schools, villages. There's not enough time, but there will be when we get to eternity, because there won't be any time. Are you living for eternity tonight? Maybe there's some things in your life you need to get rid of. I'll tell you personally, I used to love sports greatly. And the Lord convicted my heart and I got rid of it. I was so enthralled with my teams and them playing and who the players were. And it took away my love for God. Is sports wicked? It is if it takes the place of God in your life. What about your heart? What about your life? One day it'll be all over. We'll take nothing with us for what we've done for God. Let's have every head bowed and every eyes closed tonight as Pastor